Before we get to this week's edition of News AF, I want to take a moment and thank one of our sponsors. Those are friends over at True Car, who have some interesting tips for you that you may not know, like how a coffee filter and a little bit of olive oil can clean the interior of your car. You could also remove the excess weight from your car to improve its gas mileage, and you could place your keychain remote right underneath your chin to increase its range. Those are all weird tips, but here's one that's not so weird. The True Car can help you save on a used car as well. That's right. True Car isn't just for buying a new car. With their certified dealer network and nationwide inventory of nearly 1 million used cars, you'll enjoy real pricing on actual inventory and a simpler buying experience, whether you buy new or used. And with True Car, you can see what other people paid, so you'll know if you're getting a good deal before you head to the dealership. And you're also more likely to enjoy a faster buying experience when you connect with a True Car certified dealer. So when you're ready to buy a new or a used car, check out True Car to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features are not available in all states. Hey, everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesternino back here once again to talk about the week's most interesting news stories for the week of June 5th, 2018, here on News AF.
If the story is buzzing like it's on crystal meth, it's about to be News AF. If the same old news makes you bored to death, it's time for some News AF. Factual news.
Yes, the actual factual news team is back together, streaming live on twitch.tv/RHAP. And we've got a lot of stuff to get to here today on a very busy first week of June here in 2018. And here is a man who is well-versed in all sorts of computer equipment, Tyson Apostle. Tyson, how are you?
I'm better now. I was, my head was about to explode, and I was about to rip my laptop in half like the strong men of yesteryore used to rip phone books in half.
Now you rip laptops.
I was going to rip a laptop in half, and oh my goodness, dude. Steve Jobs has screwed us over again from beyond the grave. Mm-hmm. We're half an hour late because of him.
I think he might have been dead by the time that computer was made, though.
Probably. Well,
either way, it was his legacy that built it.
Yeah. Just riding off his coattails for
his
now.
Garbage, yeah, his garbage legacy that built it. Now, wow. Everybody's late. Look it. I'm 30 minutes late. You guys are both 30 minutes late. Our listeners are now going to be 30 minutes late. This is a never-ending cycle that will continue till the demise of the planet.
The dominoes effect.
Yes.
The butterfly effect.
Mm-hmm. It's the dominoes effect, as in we're 30 minutes late, so your podcast is free, Danny.
Yes.
Yes,
I think that's
okay.
Fair.
All right. Well, look, we didn't start on time, so this one is on us, guys.
Yep. We'll do it for
no
free.
No charge.
Whoopa whoopa.
Yes, Danny, how are you?
I'm okay. I'm recovering from the weekend.
Yes,
I went and saw Avengers.
And you're recovering from that?
Oh my gosh. Another superhero movie. I was so bored. And the lady who took my ticket, she whispered in hushed tones as if it was the biggest secret. She's like, stay until after the credits because there's some extra scenes.
Oh, my goodness. A secret scene in Avengers movie.
And I thought to myself, if this is how they get me to see who was the key grip or all of the special effects editors.
They honeypot. I'm like,
good for them. Yeah. But I'm not going to sit through that crap. You can't get me.
Yeah.
I just walked out.
So you didn't watch the secret scene?
No, I got up and walked out the minute the movie was over.
You know what I like to do?
What?
You know this, Danny, because you've been to movies with me. Every single movie, as soon as the credits roll, I like to whisper really loud in the theater, hang on, there's a secret scene to my friend so everybody around us can hear. So then I end up making like 30 people stay and wait for a secret scene that doesn't exist.
I could tell I was being judged, though. And I feel bad for making my wife get up and leave, but we're the only ones that moved.
Yeah.
And so all eyes are on us, and they're thinking either, how do they not know about the secret scenes, or what? They think they're better than us.
Mm-hmm.
It's very uncomfortable to be the only person in the movie theater who gets up and walks out when the movie officially ends.
No, nobody assumes you're going to skip the secret scenes, so they are just assuming you don't know.
I'm an idiot. Yeah.
You know what's the worst is when there's a movie that, and there's clearly not going to be any end credit scene, and there are people like on the aisle that are not getting up. They're not moving.
Lingering.
They're going to wait it out. They got to make sure that there's nothing else. Like you just walked out of like some serious drama. Like there's no blooper. There's nothing that they're going to show. And this guy,
they're not going to see like a robot robot arm from the pile of arms.
If you are planning on going to a movie, you have to set aside 5 hours because there's an hour of commercials, an hour of previews.
Yeah.
The movie's 3 hours long, and then the credits are 30 minutes, and then the extra scenes are another 15. It's just
and I think the TSA
so
dictates
ridiculous.
That you have to be there an hour early.
Oh, yeah. It's got to be there an hour early. It's like the movie was 3 hours long or something like that. It felt 3 hours long. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you want me to sit through the credits to watch something I can probably watch online in a couple of months anyway, from the comfort of my home, as long as my computer works. Tyson can't do that. And it's like, it just frustrates me, all this crap they're making me watch.
I know.
Well, you know what's refreshing is watching the old Disney movies. While by today's standards, they'd be considered very offensive. They're only 60 minutes long.
Yes. Why? What do you recommend, Tyson?
Which one?
Dumbo.
Dumbo.
Dumbo. Yeah.
That's interesting. I can't recall ever watching Dumbo, so maybe I'll do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. 60 minutes long. It's there's a scene where Dumbo, the child, gets drunk.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some definitely some insensitive scenes in those old movies. We watched Peter Pan last night, and I was like, these movies are hilarious.
Yeah. Did they have any secret scenes at the end?
I haven't watched the end of the credits.
Yeah, maybe go back and turn it back on. Start at the credits, Tyson.
Okay, I will.
Yes. Can you document all of the offensive things that you find, Tyson?
They're all in my head right now, but I can't say them all because I don't want to get
into that offensive.
They're too offensive. Tyson, did you know this? That the upcoming season of Survivor that's going to air in the fall, it features the person that wrote the Emoji Movie.
Yeah, I know. I saw him on The Amazing Race, and I was like, this guy's super boring. Yeah. And now he's on Survivor, too.
He wrote the Emoji Movie.
It makes sense he's boring if he wrote that movie.
He wrote School of Rock 2. And then I saw him on Amazing Race. He wrote School of Rock 2 never made it anywhere. But that's his claim to
fame.
The
less popular. Hollywood is so unoriginal. They make a sequel to everything.
So, yeah, I was kind of interested. I mean, I wasn't interested. It was interesting that he was on that show. Like, who does he know that he's getting on all these shows?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he'll change and he's like super dynamic and that's why they got him. They're like, he is such the opposite of how we've already featured him on TV.
Yeah. What is going to be the movie that we are going to cover this summer on News AF, on a bonus News AF?
Should we just do his entire catalog?
No, I want the worst movie of summer 2018.
We're going to have to wait and listen to our hearts to tell us which movie is the worst.
I already know. It's probably Book Club.
Book Club?
It's a little early to say which one it is, Tyson. You got to let the summer come along and give us all of the movies.
So you don't think it's Book Club?
I think it's just too early to say it's Book Club.
Diane Keaton is a recently widowed after 40 years of marriage.
Hilarious.
Jane Fonda enjoys her men with no strings attached. Is this like the they remade
Wild Hogs? It's like the Wild Hogs of for women.
Yeah.
Jane Fonda's like 100 years old.
Yeah.
You know how Tim Allen and all those guys ride motorcycles around?
Oh, this is like they made like the younger Sex in the City. Is that what they did?
Younger Sex in the City?
Yeah. Oh, okay. All right.
This is Wild Hogs for women.
Okay.
It's like every woman's dream as they are reaching their twilight years. Like the men are just like, I wish we could ride Harleys around in leather vests.
The lives of these four lifelong friends are turned upside down after reading the infamous 50 Shades of Grey, catapulting them into a series of outrage. Oh, really? That's what the movie is about?
That's where it goes?
Read 50 Spoiler Shades alert. Of Grey, and that's why they're going to get crazy now?
Tons of
so you
geriatric
think this is going to be the movie we're going to have to watch this summer?
I don't know. Well, let's see what the Rotten Tomatoes says. The good news is they made it for $10 million, so maybe they'll make their money back.
Maybe. Maybe. Only if they can trick audiences worldwide not to look at the reviews or find out what the movie's about.
See, the reviewers will be afraid to give this bad ratings because of the talent attached to it. I think the people are going to be afraid to come for Diane Keaton, Jane Fonda, and Candace Bergen. Mary Steenburgen, they might, but it won't
really?
Be.
Really? You think Mary Steenburgen over... You think... Candace Bergen over Mary Steenburgen?
Yeah, definitely.
Really?
I don't even know who Mary Steenburgen is.
Yeah, you do too.
She's Ted Danson's wife, right?
Oh, yeah, her.
She's in she's in that show.
She's in Curb Your Enthusiasm, obviously.
She's in Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Mm-hmm. So, okay. Well, but I don't think that that's going to bottom out.
Guys, it's 53% on Book Club. It's 63% by viewers.
Oh,
it's not that bad.
Higher than the critics.
Yeah. Okay. Because of what you said, Rob.
Readers aren't going to see that one, I bet.
No, only those who love those actresses are probably seeing it.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is those actresses.
Okay, but please, listeners of News AF, we implore you, keep your eyes peeled for the worst movie of 2018. Yes. And we will go to the movie theater and then we will bring you a podcast about it so you don't have to see it, but we will.
We will do
that. Yeah, me and Danny went and saw Emoji together in the same theater, and he wanted to leave early so many times, and I forced him not to.
Yeah.
Tyson's such a morally upstanding young man. He just didn't want to cheat everybody of a great review.
Yeah.
Exactly. Of an honest review.
Honest review. Yeah. Yep.
John Tinkham is pointing us towards Show Dogs, but that has a whole controversy attached to it also.
Oh, is that the Dennis Quaid one?
No, that's with the Will Arnett one.
Show Dogs got 17% Rotten Tomatoes.
That's too high. That's
too high. I agree. I think that's too high.
We need a single digit on Rotten Tomatoes. Once something goes below the 10% threshold, just like
I think Show Dogs will eventually get there.
Once it gets below 10%, we immediately land it and then go see that movie.
I agree. Anything in the single digits is a must-see for us.
Must-see for News AF. Okay. Let's get to our top story at this hour. And we need to talk about a app that has been released for people that are having an issue sleeping.
That's
where
me.
Now, this is perfect for you, Danny, because now there is a new app that is going to use the soothing sounds of the late, great Bob Ross to help you sleep. How about that, Danny?
That actually sounds fantastic. The idea of listening to Bob Ross as I slowly pass from wake to sleep, it's just, that's a dream come true. It's better than listening to my wife tap away on her phone.
Mm-hmm. Let's see if I can get Danny to fall asleep right now.
Okay.
We'll just draw a happy little tree over here. And
Tyson, seriously, I could probably go to sleep. The happy trees. I love the happy trees.
The happy trees.
The guy had some kind of magic where he would just touch the canvas with his paintbrush and things would appear.
Yeah, you're like, what is he painting? Nothing. And then all of a sudden you're like, it's an entire landscape.
Yeah, you're like, you're making a mess, Bob Ross. You're ruining that perfectly good white.
You're adding too much to it. Yeah. Stop right while you're ahead.
And then all of a sudden you'd pull back and be like, that is a masterpiece.
I mean, were they masterpieces? Would any Bob Ross painting, like if you had it hanging in your house, would anybody come over like, oh, wow, that is an awesome painting?
No, it's as good as this one behind me that was painted by some guy who sold it at a garage sale.
For like a dollar.
But yeah, for a dollar. But the thing that he did is that first of all, I watched it when I was a kid, right? So any skill that an adult showed was impressive. So he would seriously make it look like just, you remember how he just touched the brush and it was like a branch? Yeah. Touched the brush, it was a branch. That type of stuff was fascinating.
Yeah. Yeah. He always had like very specific colors also that his, he like, okay, we're going to get a little bit of the midnight black.
Let me also point out that the other thing he did is that, okay, he's not the greatest artist, but let's assume that he's not the greatest artist. The other artists look at him and turn their noses up at his art. Mm-hmm. What he did was he turned a mediocre skill into a giant success, and he's the probably one artist that most people know by name. So you don't have to be the best to be the most famous is what I'm trying to say. Also, I heard that his hair was not that naturally curly like that.
Perm?
Yeah, that could be fake news, but I swear.
Yeah, it's a permanent.
I read that that was not his natural hair. I'm going to look
it
that up.
It could be a permanent. Yeah.
Danny, do you think you would dream about painting if you went to sleep with the soothing sounds of Bob Ross?
No, I bet he'd dream about having a bunch of sex.
Bob Ross.
As long, you know what they should do is just show this on all the TVs on an airplane.
Yes, to knock everybody out.
Yeah. Chill everybody out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Pump it full of oxygen. Play this. Okay, we're going to get
Bob Ross permed his hair.
Wow.
Okay.
According to today.com.
Oh, I thought that was going to be Snopes.
Bob Ross curled his hair. I wonder what he would look like with straight hair.
There, I just looked at a picture. He looks like a serial
Ringo
killer.
Ringo Starr?
He looks like a... If you see a picture of him, he looked like that could be the mugshot of the Zodiac Killer right there.
Yeah.
Okay.
With the straight hair. I know.
You are saying that you think he's the Zodiac Killer?
No, I don't. I don't.
Looks a little...
But he could be.
I feel like that he fits like the Unabomber look a little bit more.
He had an idea that he could save money on haircuts, so he let his hair grow and got a perm and decided he would never need a haircut again. That's the thinking behind that hair.
Mm-hmm. Now, these stories that Bob Ross is going to be reading to you, where are they getting them from? Are they just ripped from the TV show, or did he do an audiobook, Tyson? Do we know?
That would be money. Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that.
If what?
Is he reading audiobooks? I thought he was just painting.
Here, let me see if I can play this. Okay.
Bedtime stories.
Here he comes.
Hello, I'm Bob Ross, and I'd like to welcome you to Series 31 of The Joy of
Stay awake, Danny.
This is your first time with us. Allow me to extend a personal invitation for you to drag
out
your brushes and paint along with us each show. And if you've been with us before, please allow me to thank you for inviting us back for another series.
Tyson, do you think anybody ever fell asleep painting?
Wait, what? I just woke up.
I thought that would be, you know, imagine you're like painting away and then like you doze off. I mean, you ruin the whole painting, knock the thing over, get paint everywhere. I feel like that would be a nightmare.
The thing about Bob Ross's voice is that if he used that voice to describe to me how he was going to take my body apart with pliers and blow torches, I think I'd be pretty calm. I'd be like, oh, so first I'm going to remove your fingernails using this wrench. And then I'm going to burn off your eyebrows with this blowtorch. I'd be like, oh, I'm getting sleepy, dude. What are we talking about?
Then I'm going to quarter your hinds and eat.
I'm going to break you on the wheel, and I'm going to put your dismembered body up into a cage for all to see.
Mm.
Like, oh, that sounds... what was that? I dozed out there for a minute.
I can't disagree with what you're about to do to me.
Right.
I think people fall asleep while they paint.
Yeah.
No, you can't.
You're so concentrated, it's exhausting, bro.
I don't think so. Most people paint nudes, so you're aroused the whole time, right?
That's... Wait, the painter or the model?
Everyone. Yeah. It's just the room is just charged, an electric charge of arousal.
Yeah.
I've never been in a room like that, where they're like, we're bringing in a naked.
That's you know, fancy art school.
That is fancy art school. Yeah. Not for Utah.
Yeah. Twitch chat has a lot to say about this. First off, that they are saying this is from the Grill on Twitch says an OG Bob Ross painting is worth like 25K.
Yeah, I believe that.
I thought
even more
because
of his legacy.
There's also a Bob Ross Twitch channel. That's what McSmitty is saying. People are saying this Alternative Facts 2 says I legit use his stream to sleep sometimes. And
nice.
Yeah.
It's a proven concept. That's why they made the app. They've got a real moneymaker.
They know
on their
it works.
Yeah. So, according to Gorfamus, he brought painting into the mainstream.
That's true.
Yes.
You know, Bob Ross also could have been the leader of a cult. Don't you think he would have been a good cult leader? I mean, he already has a cult, but it's for art.
A painting, yeah. A harmless art cult.
He easily could have started a cult, taken them down to a compound in like Guatemala and set something up there.
Just going to have a happy little cult. Just don't worry. The feds are outside. We're not going to deal with them.
I could follow him.
Just the man trying to take.
That's just a man.
So you do whatever he said.
I'd be like, "What do you want me to do?" He's like, "Board up the windows."
All right, so, take your shirt off, Dan.
So I'm gonna need.
Why does it have to go that way, Tyson?
Danny, you're gonna be wife number 7.
I'd be like, "Okay, I'm also very sleepy. I'm very sleepy.
Drink this."
Isn't it funny though that like we all as children are aware of this guy.
Yeah.
Because you'd be flipping through and you'd be like, okay, what's on after Sesame Street? Bob Ross. Well, I guess we'll just leave it.
You would watch it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You'd watch it and you'd be like, I can paint. That's what his draw was. It wasn't that he was so good or so magical. It was that he made you feel like you could also do that.
That is a brilliant point, Tyson.
You're like, oh, look at how easy that was. Yep. Oh, okay. I should try that next time. I should just dab my toothbrush there, and that'll probably make it like a whole tree.
Yeah. I like that when
he just dabs his brush, and it's almost a whole pine tree.
And like whack it against the just gotta whack it. I don't think he said that. I don't know what he said, but
just gotta whack it.
Is that his catchphrase?
Say that, dude. On PBS in the 1980s, he definitely wasn't saying, "I just gotta whack it." Even in the 80s, I feel like it would have poo-pooed him.
I'll go back using that as his catchphrase. Clean the brush.
Just gotta whack it.
You could like take the brush and hit it against the easel a bunch of times. Clean it off.
Well, you just gotta whack it. You just gotta whack it, you know.
Do you know how long he's been dead?
How long? Like 20 years?
Yeah, 23 years.
He's as popular as ever.
In my mind, he died yesterday.
I thought he was going to be on that new movie Book Club.
Yeah, forget Tupac holograms. Let's get a Bob Ross hologram to calm the nation the F down.
Dude, I feel like we're really on to something. Yeah. Like, sure, we're stealing this idea from somebody else who had it first. But if we can find something that was so nostalgic for our generation, mm-hmm. that bringing it back would be super popular. Like, Today's Special, was that a popular enough show?
That Roseanne.
I got an idea.
We need something from a simpler time. I got it. Today's Roseanne. Special, you think, would be... Well, that all of these kids' shows are just reboots of different things, like with just better animation. Like, there's almost no new cartoons that come out for kids. It's just some old cartoon that they said, oh, let's do it with Pixar animation.
Well, you know, they're putting out a movie about Mr. Rogers, who is also like Bob Ross, and that he had a very calming manner.
Yes.
He did.
Yes,
but he was. I always thought Mr. Rogers, from the beginning, had a bit of creep to him. And I don't know if that's legit or earned. I've never seen anything derogatory, but I was like, he's a bit creepy.
You automatically are skeptical of anyone who's overly nice and has an overly kind voice.
And you should be, because that's how you stay out of trouble.
No, I love Mr. Rogers. I don't want to hear a bad word about Bob Ross.
I'm not giving him a bad word. I'm just saying.
We're saying that red flags come up the second somebody's like,
sure. Hello. If Mr. How Rogers actually lived in your neighborhood, yes.
I wouldn't let my kids go over to his house and play with his toys.
No, you would not allow that.
What I was trying to say is he's another iconic image from the same time that people are going to try and start to make money off of, especially with this movie coming out. The Mr. Rogers, whatever, calming, happy time.
Mr. Rogers, happy time with Bob Ross.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
So you think that a mashup of Fred Rogers and Bob Ross overlaying each other's voices would be the ultimate sleep tones?
Yeah, together they could tag team you right into sleep.
All right, let's get to our next story. And this is a controversy that is brewing where the world's two hottest grandmothers, you would think that they would get along. You would think that they would have a lot in common to talk about their grandkids. But no, the two world's hottest grandmothers are fighting for the title of world's hottest grandmothers. This according to a story from foxnews.com.
Okay. I just realized we bring back Mr. Rogers as an AI who mm-hmm. arbitrates things like this. Cause I feel like he'd be good in helping decide this argument and leaving everybody in a way where they could both be happy.
Right.
Why don't we reanimate Bob Ross and Mr. Rogers and they date these two women?
No. That would totally... These women are not classy enough to date either of those men.
Let me tell you about the contenders for the world's hottest grandmother. There is Gina Stewart, the self-proclaimed world's hottest grandmother. She is 47, and she was deemed to be the world's hottest grandmother, that she had the title. But now, here comes 36-year-old Carrie Hilton. Yes.
What's the math?
Not a fair fight.
Yeah. What is the math?
11 years.
She may be world's hottest grandmother, but according to my math, she's also the world's worst parent.
And she was also the world's worst teenager.
Right.
Lots of awards for them to take home.
Yeah. So, look.
So at 36, she would have had to have a kid at 13, and her kid would have had to have a kid at 13.
Right. There's certain. They reach.
No, that's 26.
Sort of like
I did my math way wrong.
Irresponsibility ends up coming back around to be a benefit. She's sort of like a like cash.
Well, it's
outside.
Only 18 and 18. It's only 18 years.
Yeah.
If you split
I guess
36
so.
In half,
so.
It's only 18.
Like in the early 1200s, you had kids at like 16 because you were dead by the time.
She would be the world's oldest 22. Grandmother.
Yeah, they would be the, yeah. considered yeah. the oldest.
If you had a kid at 14, you would have had the world's oldest
yeah,
grandmother.
Yeah, they're just working on an sense. Older model for family, an yes. older family model.
Right. Gina Stewart, she lost out on the title of Miss Maxim Australia in a close race, but retained the fan bestowed title of World's Hottest Granny. Here comes Carrie Hilton, who actually became a grandmother at 35, and she feels that she is the world's hottest granny, and there's no competition.
They've spent this one woman spent $17,000 on cosmetic procedures.
Who did?
Stewart.
Okay. Yes. She will. I thought she claimed she has no cosmetic procedures.
No.
No. Stewart claims that she got.
Oh, Hilton. You're right. Sorry, I got that backwards. Hilton spent $17,000 on cosmetic procedures.
I was very interested in this story.
Teeth bonding. That sounds horrible.
Yeah, but from the UK, you probably need it.
Mm-hmm. Teeth bonding. Is that when you glue all your teeth together so there's no gaps?
Yeah, you can do it yourself. Yeah, you can do it. I don't know what teeth bonding is.
Yes. Okay, so maybe lost in all this is the positive message that these women are sending out there, that even at the age of 36, you could still feel good about yourself, Tyson.
Even if you are.
I don't believe it. I can't believe it.
Hey, Fox News, it must be a slow news day. You're
not.
Talking about these competing
it
grandmothers.
Never is, but world's hottest grandmother. There. We no word on what the battle is for world's hottest grandmother.
What's the award?
I don't know. It's not even clear that there is an actual award. That I believe that Gina Stewart named herself the world's hottest grandmother. And then this other woman is saying, no, I challenge you for the title.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is, I can't wait to see how this plays
it's
out.
It's like one of these money in the bank matches where it's just like, you can come and try to claim the title at any time.
If only we had the Mr. Rogers AI to help arbitrate this argument.
So
maybe someday.
Flip a coin. I don't know what's going to happen. Tyson, do you feel like that world's hottest grandpa, Mr. Steal Your Girl, that is he in jeopardy of having someone challenge him for world's hottest grandpa?
No, he's in jeopardy of having two girlfriends.
Got to be careful. Don't ever be in the same room with all three.
Exactly.
Okay. Let's move on to another story. And this is kind of a crazy story. So there was a man in, I believe this is in the UK, where he was digging in the backyard, and he ended up finding a skull. Cool. And brought it to show his wife, and she said, no, don't worry, it's just my ex-husband.
Was that a joke?
No. She talked about a murder that was from 20 years ago, that her husband was abusive, and he came at her allegedly with an axe, and in self-defense, she killed him and buried him in the backyard.
This is...
And nothing ever got reported? Wait, what?
Is she roaming around free and clear?
Yeah. Okay, so she's fine. Again, this ended up taking place...
She's fine?
Yes, everybody is fine except for the guy that got murdered.
The guy that got murdered.
He's not fine. No, okay. But this is reported in the UK, but it actually took place in Siberia.
Oh, now it all makes... Okay.
Okay.
Okay, this is all making sense.
They don't have laws against this type of... There's not laws against this.
Siberia is the Wild West of the world.
Yeah, there's the Wild West of the Wild West, but the Wild West of the world is even one step more wild.
Didn't we have a story recently where there was like a bag of bodies?
Yeah, a bag of hands. You just could find a bag of hands on a river in Siberia.
Here's the thing that's one of the most mind-blowing things about Siberia for me.
Mm-hmm.
They have tigers in Siberia called the Siberian tigers. And it's like, oh, I'm just out enjoying a little snow. Oh my God, what is that? A tiger in the trees? How are tigers living in the snow? I imagine tigers living in jungles.
Yeah. No, it's all different. Siberia is the upside down of the world.
It's like where they landed in the show Lost, except for not tropical.
Mm-hmm. Right. And you should never dig in Siberia.
It's funny how this story, when we thought it was based in England, was outrageous. But now that we realize it's in Siberia, it almost seems like that's where
we shouldn't have
that's
even
totally normal. How is this
we
news?
We probably shouldn't have covered this. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
The woman is very open in the story. That
of
she,
course she is.
She's like, oh, yeah.
It's Siberia.
She's like, oh, I never told you about that thing. That time I killed my first husband. Yeah, he was drunk and he tried to, he came at me with an axe. So I killed him and I buried him in the backyard.
I mean, 500 years ago, she would have turned that skull into a mug and been drinking from it the entire time.
That's true.
Warning, as a warning to her next husband, like, hey, this is what happens if you step out of line.
Yeah. Tyson, if you found out that Rachel had murdered a first husband, would it change anything in the dynamics of the relationship?
Yeah, I feel like we probably wouldn't sleep in the same room. And I probably would not turn my back to her.
You'd
very
leave Bob
often.
Ross on just in the background on a TV constantly, just in case to calm her down.
Well, and to calm me down so my hair didn't fall out from all the stress.
Well, the other thing is the husband wasn't he wasn't that perturbed because he had actually murdered probably several people too. And so
he was just like, oh, I get it.
Yeah. I get this.
One other thing, just so I want to fact check ourselves here. So that she actually did tell her second husband to go back and bury the first husband again and don't tell the police. But I guess that the first husband did tell the police, and I wouldn't cross this woman. He's a brave guy.
Yeah. So you're saying you would just keep, let's say you found a dead body in your backyard and Nicole was like, oh yeah, that.
Yeah.
You would then remain silent about it?
Am I like an accomplice now?
Yeah.
I think so.
The problem is, he told on her, and then she got sent to jail, which is a refrigerator box guarded by a drunk Siberian, and she was only there for less than 30 minutes, and now she's back at home, and he is terrified.
She served her time. 35 minutes.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay. So he's in danger. Get out of there, buddy.
Okay.
But there's no hub.
Yeah. Once you're in Siberia, there's no way to get out of it.
Yeah,
you've seen the movie Lost. It's a TV show.
Yes.
So many facts I missed with that comment.
Okay. All right. Well, let's talk about this story. A new study is talking about how millennials, we haven't had any good millennial stories lately. According to...
Immediately when you see millennial in the title, red flag.
Yes. Okay.
But let's continue reading.
According to this fact, British millennials... according to the Agriculture and Horticulture Development Board, were surveyed. 2,000 millennials were surveyed, and what they found was that millennials would rather eat a healthy meal than have sex with their partner during the week.
A healthy meal. This is a study performed by people who are big proponents of salad. Mm-hmm. Is that correct?
I guess so.
Nobody wants a healthy meal over anything. Like if you were like, hey, Tyson, would you rather have a healthy meal or watch a little bit of a show? Unless I'm starving to death, I'm always going to choose the other thing.
Here's the thing. If you eat a healthy meal, you can probably have sex. It's when you don't eat a healthy meal that you don't want to have sex because you're all filled with cheese. And so it seems...
Cheese sex is the best.
No, cheese sex... No. So the healthy meal is probably the best time to have sex. So it's weird that they're trading that moment for the healthy meal that also would make it possible to do it.
As we talked about a couple of months ago, that millennials are time poor, Danny. They don't have time to prepare a healthy meal and have sex. So they're picking one or the other.
Well,
and they'd rather eat the healthy meal than have sex.
Mm-hmm. Let's pull the United States. By the show of hands, who would rather have a salad over your optimal sexual experience?
Hold on. No, where would optimal come from?
Well, I decided
this is midweek sex.
Average. Yeah.
Okay, average midweek sex.
By the way, remember, millennials are also adverse to handling raw meat.
Wait, so, hold on. Where are you going with this, Danny?
I'm just saying that they have a problem with germs, and sex is very germy.
Yeah, especially Danny's raw meat.
I would think midweek sex is the worst sex of all.
You think?
I would think so, based on my experience.
Okay.
It's like, really?
So you'd rather have a salad?
On a Tuesday?
Okay.
Well, I don't care. Like,
I didn't know people had sex on Tuesdays.
Yeah. Well, not around here.
Actually, it says the secret to getting back in the sack, according to this article, is a bit of beef and lamb in your diet.
Oh. Mm.
So maybe the healthy meal makes it so you don't want to do it.
Update my shopping list.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just nothing but hot beef for.
Yeah, I got some beef for you. Mm-hmm. Is that what you're supposed to say at that point?
Yeah.
So if I eat like 10 what? Slim Jims a day, that's basically meat Viagra.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have, but you eat more than that.
So according to this article, this is from the Mirror in the UK. They say even 50% said they'd prioritize cooking a healthy meal over a bit of rumpy pumpy. While only 34%.
I like that.
Well, yeah. If you're going to call it rumpy pumpy, of course we're going to avoid that.
That sounds like you're not old enough to be having rumpy pumpy if you're calling it rumpy pumpy. That's weird because that's the exact tramp stamp I was going to get.
Rumpy pumpy. Yeah.
Right on my lower back.
I think 100% of the women surveyed said that they would never sleep with a person who uses the term rumpy pumpy.
Oh my goodness.
Seriously.
Well, good thing these rumpy pumpies want salad over sex.
Yeah.
Man, rumpy pumpies.
So now are they going to have? So now we've determined that salad is better than sex. Is avocado toast better than salad?
Remember, this is only better than sex for those who view sex as rumpy pumpy.
Oh, and if it's midweek.
And it's midweek. That's correct.
Okay. Yeah. So,
well,
I don't know.
I think this poll has too many flaws to be accurate.
Too many flaws. Why? What? They didn't poll enough people?
They probably didn't pull a broad enough spectrum of people.
Mm-hmm. The people they asked didn't know what rumpy pumpy was.
Like, would you rather have a healthy meal or a rumpy pumpy? Like,
yeah, you can't go to
a healthy meal. I'm not.
It's
really
a rumpy
sure.
pumpy. Does that happen in prison? Where does that take place?
You can't go into Salads Incorporated and have the CEO follow you around while you ask all of its employees if they'd rather partake of their own product salad or have sex with their sexual partner.
Yeah.
Because in front of your boss at Salads Incorporated, you're definitely going to say salad.
Not sex, Tyson. Rumpy pumpy.
Yeah.
Remember, that's
rumpy
the question.
Pumpy.
Is salad the optimal dinner food? Now, that people who, you know, follow my diet closely know that I eat a large salad every day for lunch, but rarely a salad for dinner, Tyson.
I think it can be used for both.
What, people are doubling down on the salad?
Too much salad, Tyson. You will be crapping salad. The entire time.
I've eaten multiple salads in a day before, but not for a long time. Mm-hmm. Well, you just got to get used to it.
Yeah, that's right. Rumpy dumpy from rumpy pumpy to rumpy dumpy.
Maybe that's the real reason why these millennials are shying away from going into the bedroom. They're just
the intestinal issues.
A lot of problems. Like,
it does seem like there are more intestinal issues. The older I get, the more young people have intestinal issues.
So it's interesting. Now, I would love to know the number of Gen Xers, if they could poll them. Danny, are zero?
Well, there's three of us right here. Let's take a vote.
Yeah, but I think that we're not the typical Gen Xers, right?
No, remember, we're the bridge generation. What were we called? We covered this.
Xennials.
That's right.
Yeah. I don't know, but when I go on Facebook and I see the people I graduated high school with, I don't know how many of them are having healthy dinners.
I should have gone to my high school reunion last year.
Right.
Just to rub it in their stupid faces. I thought I needed a couple million more dollars to rub it in their stupid faces.
But you could have just gone and looked fabulous.
Got a slim finnick shirt and rocked it.
And they just talked about all the rumpy pumpy you're having.
Right.
With my partner.
I'm going to frame the question to my wife this way of, would you rather prepare a healthy dinner or have sex middle week She might, when I put it in those terms, if, you know, put a gun to her head, she might end up coming down on the side of, I'm not going to work on cooking a meal and it's healthy for you in the middle of the week.
Okay. Are you going to put this on your Instagram story or Snapchat? Where's it going?
Yeah, let me feel it out in person and then see how it goes. And then,
because you are you, do you still do Snapchat?
I really don't do Snapchat.
Because I remember when we used to be on Snapchat sometimes.
Nope.
I always loved your things where you were like in the middle of the night in the dark, you'd be like, Nicole, I just took this online quiz.
Yeah.
And I really feel like, yeah, I really feel like I'm more of Samantha than I am.
Yeah.
And she'd be like, go to bed. Was that really in the middle of the night? Were you really waking her up?
Yeah. I don't think it was in the middle of the night.
Those were great. Yeah. So I think if you could do something like that with this and put it on your Insta story.
Yeah. I'll ask her her thoughts on this because I think there's almost there might be a 1% chance about the midweek romance. There's a 0% chance that she's going to spend a long time making a healthy meal.
1 out of 100 midweek romances. That's once every 2.5 months.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty good.
It's not bad. Okay. All right. So let's get into this other story we've got over here. We have another nominee for the worst airline passenger of the week.
Nice.
Good.
Now, there was another person who they had their flight diverted because they were smoking pot in the bathroom. But this is a man who just ended up smelling so badly on a flight that he caused the flight to make an emergency landing based on his smell alone, Tyson.
That's pretty impressive. And
that's a superpower.
Disgusting. Yeah, that is a superpower. This guy, under the new regime of citizens' rankings, would maybe not even be able to ground to Greyhound.
Yes. He may not.
This is Greyhounding, though, Tyson. It falls underneath that category.
Yeah. So this man was flying on a super low cost Dutch airline, which is, again, another reason maybe against the idea of the low cost airliners, because it seems like that seems to be
the Greyhound of the skies
head of a lot of these problems that we're having. You know, these flights are too cheap.
I like cheap flights, but so does everybody else, and that's where you run into problems.
You want to, you're trying to keep the unwashed masses from rubbing shoulders with you by creating a barrier through price, right?
Yeah, but when you say it like that, I don't really like it. But then when I see it in person, I do.
Yeah,
that's why Johnny Depp, and I've talked about this, refuses to fly anything but private.
Did you see this news story on Johnny Depp where he's touring Russia with his band and he's like looking super skinny and gaunt and
he's
sickly?
Been eating nothing but salad.
He probably has
sex,
and everybody's like reporting and having heart attacks over how sickly Johnny Depp looks.
I'm starting to think that maybe this is fake news, because I thought that there was a picture that was posted of Johnny Depp where he ended up looking more normal, where either it was like a really bad photo,
it was lighting,
or if he's like that he's like in makeup for a movie.
There were a couple of bad photos and one good photo.
I'm more interested in the man that can cause people to vomit than Johnny Depp, because Johnny Depp is obnoxious. This guy's got a superpower. I'm more interested in talking.
Yeah, but Johnny Depp wears the maximum amount of bracelets allowed on a man at a single time.
Oh, my gosh. When he has to go, that's why he flies private, because he's got to take all that jewelry off.
And he's got to put it on
TSA
in the morning. Do you think he sleeps in it?
He has to take it off when he goes through the screening process at the airport.
And he's the guy that's not like, I'll just put this in my carry-on and I'll put it on after I get through the checkpoint. He's like, I gotta wear it to the checkpoint.
I bet Johnny Depp smells bad. He looks like he smells bad.
I don't know.
He's got that unwashed, unkempt look.
Yeah,
that
says, that's what he's going for, though.
Yeah.
I know. But I wonder if he smells so bad that that's why he flies private, so he doesn't cause this problem right here.
Maybe so.
This airline is known as Transavia. That's the name.
Transavia.
Yeah.
That doesn't sound... Keep going.
They tried to quarantine him in the bathroom because he smelled so bad, but still, people were vomiting from how bad he smelled. Several passengers...
Is that possible?
What was it that he smelled so bad?
We don't know. We don't know if there was a medical issue that is what's
well, was
on.
It farts? Was it his body odor? Was it his unwashed?
You mentioned flatulence, Tyson, because we previously did a story about Transavia Airlines in February.
No.
A man was on his way from Dubai to Amsterdam, and the plane had to land because a man on a Transavia flight could not stop passing gas.
This blows my mind that a person could have a reaction with everybody else that's so severe they have to land the airplane. Like, airplanes smell horrible to begin with, but your smell, your
somebody
musk
fainted,
if
Danny.
I will, I know your musk is so strong, so potent that people are blacking out and puking. I mean, get this guy, he needs to be studied in some kind of military laboratory.
Come you think they did this, weapon? The salads versus sex study on this flight while this man was stinking up the whole plane?
Oh, my gosh.
Millennials were on this flight.
Well, it's a super cheap flight. I'm assuming mostly
all
millennials on there.
Yeah.
All millennials except for the stinky man.
Oh, the best part is the incident also sparked several brawls, but that's just barely mentioned in one small sentence at the end. The smell gets everything else. And then at the end, it's like people fought. That's... I would fight. The best is they quarantined him in the stinkiest part of the plane.
Right.
And still
would notice. Now, should there be some sort of a smell test administered by the TSA, Danny?
Is that what those dogs are for?
I mean, they frisk you. I feel like that they should smell you also. And then if you don't pass the smell test, you shouldn't be allowed to board the plane.
That's just, this blows my mind. I would like to get a little bit of that smell. Can this guy jar some of his scent and send it to us?
Yeah,
I just want to know, how bad is the smell that makes you puke or black out? How bad is that?
They said that it smelled like he had not washed in weeks.
I'd like to just get a whiff of that.
Yeah.
A little bit.
We say it every week with these airplane stories. There need that. I'm okay with the public score.
No fly. Yep. The public score for the no fly.
Yeah.
This guy's on the list.
Put him on
the
list.
Maybe we should compile our own list, Rob.
Yeah. Of what? People that should be on the no-fly list?
Yeah.
There's
only
going to be like four so far.
I know, but we've got time. Mm-hmm. I'll just build it up over time.
Yeah.
You're right.
The man is not named in the article. So we don't know other than the man that smells really bad.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If you have any information on this man that the flight was going from the Netherlands to Spain...
Oh, yeah, you're going to have some stink bombs on there.
Okay, and never, ever fly Transavia, no matter how cheap the flight is.
What about Ryanair?
Ryanair? Who's that?
We rarely come across Ryanair stories, if ever. But Transavia in 5 months or 6 months, that's a bad sign.
Okay, well, I'm just saying those budget airlines in Europe are a nice way to get around.
Mm-hmm.
They were a nice way to get around.
Yeah.
Well, if it doesn't get where you're trying to get, you didn't save any money.
That's true.
Yeah. You still got to get
there.
And
is that a tagline of a large corporation, or did you just come up with that?
No, I came up with that now. Okay. And then one other story before we get to the Bolt Hall about a man who is suing CVS, the pharmaceutical giant, for telling his wife that he had a prescription for Viagra.
You want to keep that secret. You want to keep your four-hour erections. Like, you want to keep those secret from your wife.
Yes. So what is the issue here, Danny, that you would think that this is a marriage? You would think that there would be total and open communication between the husband and wife?
Well, she was confused because not only was he eating healthy, but he had erections all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And she didn't think that was possible because, you know, she thought those two were separate things. And she's been living a lie. She's been enjoying a lie. And so she called in to about a different prescription, and the pharmacist just started talking about the Viagra, which, I mean, how does that conversation start? You know, like, hey, I got your subscription here, but how you been enjoying that Viagra? Your husband, is he pretty rock hard? Or, I mean, like, how does he just jump into that conversation?
Right. Was he just telling his wife, the whole marriage based on, like, I am so potent and virile?
Yeah.
No man is as virile as I. And she's like,
and it's all natural, baby.
I got to give it to you.
It's all natural.
This is unlike anything else I've ever experienced. And then.
Remember when you weren't going to marry me, but I convinced you based on my virility alone? And you were like, okay, anybody who is this easily aroused at anything and can stay that easily aroused for long extended periods of time deserves my love.
Maybe she felt like it was an insult to her as his spouse. Like, maybe I'm
that
not.
Also could be.
I'm not attractive enough to get him. Excited, you know, he's out there juicing to get hard. Well, you know, that could be a problem.
According to the article, I think that the grievance comes from the fact that his prescription drug plan does not cover the drug Viagra. And because he's paying $60 a pill, I think, I don't know how much Viagra he's buying.
Whoa.
Wait, it's $60 a pill.
Whoa.
According to this lawsuit. There's
$60 a pill.
That is incredible.
He was paying cash, I guess, to not go through insurance. I don't know if it's less money to go through the insurance.
Isn't that the dark web's for, to buy this type of stuff from Mexico?
I don't know. I guess if you buy it from CVS, it's $60 a pill.
Isn't that what Mexican vacations are for?
I'm not sure.
Use that $60 to get on Trans-Save Air and get down there.
Yeah. So I don't know. Again, I don't know if why the marriage is in shambles. Maybe it's not so much about the actual Viagra. Maybe it's that you paid $10,000 in cash for Viagra?
No, I'm going back to my original idea that it was all about how he was, you know, he was taking drugs for his performance and not telling her. So this whole marriage has been built on a giant lie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it can be a tricky
hard lie.
Big old hard gigantic throbbing lie.
Yeah,
we can. I think that's in all seriousness, it's probably a tricky road to bridge to cross. Like having that conversation with your wife where you're like, and we're gonna need this, but it's not you, it's me. And then
it's not that you're ugly and fat, it's that I'm old.
My penis is broken.
It's been broken for some time now. Tabasco sauce is no longer cutting it. And
Tabasco sauce.
That's from a Curb Your Enthusiasm episode. But I don't know. I mean, $60 a pill. And until I heard that, I didn't even think that might be a problem. But $60 a pill, that is so much. So there must be a cheaper way.
8 100-milligram pills. I'm not sure if that's the supersized dose. That's more. I'm not sure.
It's a king's ransom.
Yeah.
Wait, what?
This is right in my backyard back on Long Island. This was at a Merrick Road CVS.
My goodness.
Wow. Do you think he's going to win this?
I don't think that the marriage is really in shambles. I think that that his wife was like, I didn't know you were taking Viagra. And he's like, that's it. We're suing CVS. We're cashing in. Viagra ain't going to buy itself.
That is a good idea, right? Maybe he's suing just for tons of free Viagra. That's smart.
That is smart. Maybe she knew the whole time and he was like, let's call in. And you pretend like you didn't really know, and then all get mad and sue them, and then we'll have free Viagra for life. And then in 5 years, when they run out of movies ideas, that will be a movie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just to play devil's advocate here, I mean, if you are on the same prescription drug plan as your spouse, does CVS need to hide things like that from your spouse? Like, I know I've picked up a prescription for my wife. And, you know, I go in there and I give them my wife's birthday, and I picked up prescriptions for my kids at CVS. Yep. So I kind of feel like that is CVS in the wrong here, Tyson?
I think that as a pharmacist, you probably are under oath to not disclose that information.
Or it could be that sometimes there's just one person in the marriage who does everything. So maybe he's the only one that ever picks up prescriptions. That's why I thought it was a great idea. Because his wife never calls. Like, I have no idea about our finances. If my wife was to leave me, I would just be penniless because she knows everything about it.
Yeah.
And maybe that's what he was counting on. And she called. But I'm with you, Rob. I mean, I can pick up a prescription for my wife. There's no way that he could really hide it from her forever.
Yeah, that is true, because you can pick up a prescription. So what is the... I thought that there was probably some type of law in place where you, as a pharmacist, probably weren't supposed to talk about that information with anyone, but maybe that's not true.
He should be your friendly neighborhood pharmacist. At a different CVS than the one he goes to for everything else. I think this is the first rule.
Yeah, he should definitely be driving about 30 hours out of where he lives.
He should be going to the Rite Aid down the street for his Viagra.
Or just taking trans whatever to Mexico. I think that's probably the cheapest way to get 8 pills. That is so much money for just 8 pills.
If he's living, $600, you could do a lot with $600.
32 hours of erection.
Yeah.
That's the maximum, Danny. Any more than that, and you have to go to the hospital, which then also costs money.
3 hours and 59 minutes. That's the perfect amount of time for an erection, right?
Well, he's on the East Coast, so he could jump over to probably Europe, where they can probably buy that stuff over the counter, too.
Yeah, so according to Canada. The Twitch chat, it seems like that the question that needs to be asked here, that Half676 says, I think you can specifically request no one else can pick up your prescription. Maybe he did this. So if he gave CVS the instructions to never tell my wife about this, then this is like maybe he thought maybe it was like he had it like implied, like maybe he picked it up as like nobody else needs to know about this. I wasn't here, but maybe he didn't make it abundantly clear.
Well, maybe if there wasn't so much stigma around Viagra, people wouldn't be jamming magnets down their wang.
Right.
I mean, that's probably why that guy last week was just doing magnets. He was afraid that the Viagra would be discovered, so he just went the cheap magnet route.
Yeah, plus the cost. And it's like, go to any toy store, get those magnets, go back in the photo booth in the corner, jam them down up your urethra, and then exit the toy store. You don't even have to pay for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, it's expensive, I guess, by paying cash for this Viagra.
Yeah. Oh, it is expensive, I guess. I would
pleasure.
Know.
Yeah, pleasure can be expensive, Rob, as you well know.
I guess so. Okay. Is this a publicity stunt? Gore Formis knows for who? Viagra or CVS or for this guy?
They're all making money on the deal.
Well, we did mention earlier that it could be a stunt.
CVS has Viagra.
They're gonna get tons of free Viagra. Yeah,
$60 a pill. Cash?
That's cheaper than anywhere else I go.
Yeah, I don't have to go to Mexico anymore.
How do you get a prescription? But he still has to get the prescription for it, right?
You got to talk to your doctor.
Yeah, so he's talking.
How
do
you get
doctor.
A prescription for that? Did they like show you naughty pictures? Like rub your tinkle with a feather, and they're like, "Yep, you can't." I see no evidence of erection. I'll give you a prescription.
Yeah. Well, it can be like, hey, how do I get Viagra? And the doctor's like, do you have a boner right now? And he's like, nope. And he's like, you probably need it.
If you could pass this one test, nurse, come in here.
It's like a 30 action quiz where you just like, they don't want to give Viagra to anybody and they don't want to sell it. They don't want to give it out. It's dangerous. But if you can pass, they're strict.
Yeah, I feel like they do want to give it out to anybody.
Well, I feel like if you're willing to go in there and admit you need it, that's probably evidence enough that you can have it. You're willing to come up here and tell me you can't get an erection. I will write you a prescription right now. But do know it's $60 a pill.
Yeah, and your insurance won't cover it.
Sorry. Okay. Before we turn it over to Danny, let me take a moment and thank one of our sponsors here today. And those are the fine people at Omaha Steaks. Father's Day is around the corner and you can get dad a great deal. Save 78% when you go to omahasteaks.com. Type in the word Rob in the search bar and get this great deal at Omaha Steaks for $49.99. Two tender filet mignons, two top sirloins, four chicken fried steaks, two boneless pork chops, four all beef Omaha Steak burgers, four gourmet jumbo franks, 12 ounces of all beef meatballs, a pound of steakhouse fries, four caramel apple tartlets. Danny, this deal is so good. So much food here. Even millennials are saying, you know what? I would even take the time to prepare and eat all of this food, even if it's not a salad.
Yeah, I'm getting the meat sweats.
Yeah, I'm sweating over here too.
So a great gift. Comes to you in the vacuum sealed cooler. It's always going to be a big hit. Your dad is going to like it much more than another clock for the clock room or another painting to put on the floor, Tyson.
Yeah, we've got too many paintings. We need some meat.
Yeah. It's convenient. They send it right to your door. And it's a great deal that we had them, the Omaha Steaks offer over the holidays. And I heard from so many listeners that they were so happy with what they got. Even Nicole, who notoriously is a hater of all things, loves Omaha Steaks, says, we need to get this for ourselves. So go ahead and check out omahasteaks.com. Use the promo code ROB in the search bar. Save 78%. On a fantastic deal. All sorts of other things are available too on the website. So again, get this limited time package for $49.99 when you go to omahasteaks.com, type Rob in the search bar, and add the Father's Day package to the cart. This offer ends soon. Don't wait. Go to omahasteaks.com, type Rob in the search bar, and get Dad something he's going to want this year for Father's Day. Not whatever else you're thinking about for Dad. Forget it. Okay? All right. Let's get into what Danny has in the trademarked Danny's bolt hole.
Welcome to my bolt hole.
Danny, how beautiful.
I think you're gonna like it. I think you're gonna feel you belong.
Yes.
First, a shout out to my dentist assistant who argued with me when I said that they were getting close to being able to regenerate tooth enamel. And she said that would be impossible.
Okay. This is
good news. That's never going to happen.
This is good news.
Right?
And
she just argued with me for like 15 minutes. I said, no, I read an article about it. They're getting close. And I just came across a headline that says new material regenerates dental enamel. At least, so if you're listening, which I'm sure you are, face.
Yeah.
I'm going to the dentist on Thursday.
I mean, the dentist is going to lose their business if we can just regrow, right? Just squirt it into our mouths and then move on with our lives.
I think you probably have to have it applied professionally, no?
Okay. But why argue with me? I mean, she hadn't read the article.
Customer's always supposed to be right where I came from.
It was so annoying that she was arguing with me, and not just arguing, but completely denying flat out that it would ever be possible.
Why didn't you take your business elsewhere?
Because I have a great dentist, so I didn't want to. So anyway, there you go. If you're listening, face, but that's not my bolt hole story. Yes. That was just my Danny's rub it in your face moment.
Yeah.
Okay.
Guys, we missed out. We've missed out on some great sloth terrarium ideas. They come and they go, and we don't know which ones are the money makers and which ones are the duds.
Yeah, and we can't always choose right.
But there is one guy who just had a dream, and it sounded like a crazy dream, but he pursued it anyway. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's an inspiration to us right here as budding entrepreneurs. And what he invented was fake testicles for neutered dogs.
Yeah, I feel like...
Yeah, I've heard of this before.
Okay, yeah. He got investors, 32 investors, but now he's sold 500,000 sets. So he's reached the point where he is now a multimillionaire as a result of that idea.
Mm-hmm.
That's ridiculous.
I just...
What?
I just want to be rich.
Mm-hmm. What, but you have this idea, Danny?
No, I didn't have this idea, but I just wish I could have an idea and then
work hard on it.
Yeah.
What about fake testicles for neutered cats?
Don't you think he's thought of that?
If he did, we can sue the pants off his ass.
And how did you guys both know about this and nobody ever told me? This is the greatest success story we've had in 100 years.
I didn't know he'd made millions of dollars off of it. I had just heard that the man had had this idea and there was a company that was making fake testicles for neutered dogs. Mm-hmm.
This is a success story that needs to be shared everywhere. He sells them. It's more expensive than Viagra, a pill, because it's $130 for a set of testicles.
Okay.
But yeah, he's made millions. He's even got billboards.
Mm-hmm.
And dogs are happy. Oh, and he's got multiple sizes. So, you know, you can decide if your dog needs bigger ones or smaller ones.
I want way, way bigger than your dog needs. I think that would be a sight to behold.
I do often wonder, like, we have a lot of ideas here in the Sloth Terrarium, and some of them are ridiculous, but sometimes ridiculous can make millions, like this guy's idea. Right. So how many gold mines are we sitting on because we think they're too ridiculous to take to market?
Probably too many.
Probably too many.
Is there any evidence, even anecdotal, that the dog is depressed when he realizes he does not have the testicles?
No, not that I can see. But I mean,
having the prosthetic testicles actually makes the dog less depressed.
Yeah, I know. It's just something. Who can say? And also, where did this guy come up with this idea and then think that there was a market large enough to make him millions of dollars?
Because you see a dog with three legs and it's just as happy as a dog with four legs. Mm-hmm. The animal does not focus on, I am not whole, I am missing this piece of me. A dog loses an arm and then they're just like, okay, well, now I got to get by on three legs now.
The dog's not worried about the hottest dog grandpa out
right.
there.
Did you
like,
see
that's
that,
not a
that
concern.
Video of the crawfish that pulled its own arm off to get out of the boiling water?
I did see that. That's like, the animal world.
Oh my God, how will I adjust in society now?
But that's how animals think. They don't care, right? They're just glad to be alive, as far as I can tell. Sometimes they look like they don't want to be alive. But this guy, he just decided, like, dogs want testicles after they've been removed. This is important to them. And he found enough owners who also thought their dogs were sad because they didn't
have
testicles.
Enough people with too much money.
Too much money and this false belief that their dog thinks just like them. Mm-hmm. But he's a millionaire. And I feel like we're sitting on tons of million-dollar ideas, but we don't pursue them because we think they're ridiculous.
Yeah, well, and also we're all idea men.
That's
we
true.
We need a guy who can execute.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, this guy went around, found engineers and people who listened to him talk about dog testicles, and they didn't laugh. They shared his dream. That was probably the hardest part, to convince people, like, hey, I need a mold. They're like, what's a mold for? I'm looking for something similar to a dog's testicle. Like, those kind of conversations over and over and over again while he invented
this. How many sizes does he make?
Looks like about 10.
Okay. And what's like their do they feel like a dog testicle? Maybe it's for dog shows.
Yeah.
So they can get a dog neutered and then still take it to a dog show where the dog guy can still fondle its nuts.
Yeah, that's how Will Arnett got in trouble with that movie, Tyson. Be careful.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like one of them looks very much like a Jelly Belly. And I wonder if they just have Jelly Belly making these on the side at their factory in California.
Yeah.
In the same vats and everything.
They laminate one.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Then they've got like a side conveyor belt that's making dog testicles. The other conveyor belt's making delicious and disgusting jelly beans.
They just laminate the jelly beans. So inside a fake dog's testicle is a delicious jelly belly.
Wow.
I hope not. Anyway, guys, I just saw this. I thought it was a great success story. I thought, why aren't we millionaires? Tyson was briefly till the tax man came and took so much.
Right.
So next time we have a great idea, let's just find someone else to run with it.
So we need somebody who is a hard worker, who's driven, who is somebody that can get stuff done, but has no original ideas of their own. It's like, boy,
exactly.
I could get some things done around here if I only had an idea. We have ideas, but they're like, that sounds like a lot of work.
We need to partner with somebody who's not afraid to go to a place that makes molds and talk about dog testicles. That's the type of person we need.
Right. We need people who can execute
an empty vessel with some good, strong work ethic.
Some foot soldiers.
Yeah.
Get stuff done.
Okay. Let's get it done. Let's become millionaires on the backs of other people. I think that's how you're supposed to do it.
Anybody in here know how to get stuff done?
Yeah, they could be a fourth partner and we could split it.
Yes, okay.
Well, let's split it 30, 30, 30, and then they can have the 3.3, 3.3, 3.3.
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Okay, deal.
Okay. All right, we'll talk about that in the future. Anything else you want to bring up, Danny?
No, I did everything I wanted to. A face to my dentist assistant and the dog's testicle. So all the important stuff's covered.
All right.
Got it.
It's all happening.
I have a review here.
Let's hear it.
I love their robot news, but ... They didn't talk about the robot running for mayor in Japan. I thought this was News AF, so I tweeted it to Robin Tyson, but I haven't heard anything about it on the show. So sad. I was excited to learn about this robot. Instead, I was treated to a story about a robot that does interviews for IKEA. In my opinion, I think robot mayor is a better topic than robot interviewer, but I don't report the news. I just listen. So I guess I'll have to just listen about the robots they choose. Thanks anyways. 5 stars.
I mean, to address the issue of the robot mayor, I mean, we try to avoid political stories if we can. And we did not want to get into the
this robot's super ultra conservative. It's super ultra conservative agenda.
By the way, that robot is has been nominated to run for mayor of Tokyo. So no small beans there. Tokyo.
Right.
Wow.
This is the one news show that doesn't get bogged down in partisan politics.
No,
because it starts as a joke. We nominate a robot mayor and then it just spirals out of control.
Well, yeah, this is that Black Mirror episode. That's
look, like, guys, I'm telling you right now, I am voting for robots. That's it. I'm voting for robots.
Well, is it a real robot, Danny, or is it like a Black Mirror episode where it's like there's a robot, but then there's like a guy in the back that's like cracking jokes?
That's really what I have to get to the bottom of, because I'm not voting for a robot controlled by some guy and, you know, behind the curtain. Like on Wizard of Oz, I'm voting for a robot, a learning intelligence, an AI that's outgrown its inventor. And I know it'll still have some of the biases of its inventor, but I am all in on artificial intelligence because humans are stupid.
Right.
They're just in a cycle of stupidity.
Oh, actually, what we should do is, you know, it's the best thing. We should be in this trade deal and then we should plant this crop and we should do this and allow this many.
And we should send these old people off to the island and we should, right. I mean,
and
lots
like,
of
oh,
lots
social security should be at this age. And it's like,
yeah, because I've always
making a lot of sense. Okay.
Yeah. And I've always said that if a robot, let's say I'm 65 and the robot makes a declaration that everybody over the age of 64 has to be eliminated. If the robot is eliminating me, I know he has a cold logical reason for it. It's not hate. It's not some vendetta he has against me because I'm gross and old. It's because for the preservation of humanity, I must be eliminated. And I can understand that. I won't appreciate it, but at least when I'm being put down, I'll be like, okay, robot, you're making good sense.
I don't think
here.
The robot should do it by age. I think there should be some sort of like, you know, cognitive and physical battery of tests that you have to.
Yeah, we've talked about that, and that is a good idea. But just so these robots know, I'm all in. I will elect you into positions of power because you couldn't do any worse than humans.
Okay.
That's a challenge. It sounds like a challenge to me, Danny.
Yeah. So
you couldn't do any worse than humans.
By the way, they made this mayor robot look super sexy.
Oh, okay. Japanese
I'm sure
robot mayor.
Let's see. Yeah, look at those pictures.
Okay, the robot is going to be fair and balanced. Okay, fair.
No, that's Fox's catchphrase.
Yeah. Okay, but they don't have that in Japan, I don't think. Mayor of Tokyo. And a fair and balanced marriage. Well, you know, the Japanese get everything good first. They
like black meat hamburgers or whatever it was.
We're constantly talking about, oh, the, you know, Japan has this, Japan has that. So it's possible. Yeah, the robot is a female form. So that's very progressive, a female robot mayor. And we'll see, but I just don't know. Is there somebody behind the curtain? That's really what it comes down.
Yeah, that's
to.
A
like
problem.
A wizard of.
Early.
You think we're actually it's the Wizard of Oz?
Yeah, and is there another robot running opposed to this?
Yeah, not that I can tell.
Or is it robot versus human?
Yeah.
I love that at the very end of this article, it talks about how in 1938, a mule ran for office in Washington, Milton, Washington.
Yep.
A mule. And I might vote for a mule.
I think this opens up
a
real Pandora's box of should robots be allowed to vote?
That would come naturally. If they can run for office, they're going to have to get the vote.
The robots
well.
Are going to say, hey, if I can be the mayor, how come I can't vote?
But who's programming them to vote?
I don't know. And then if you have a robot who you own, do you own the robot's vote? You say, okay, go out there and vote for Johnson.
These are some thorny issues. You're right.
But maybe Johnson doesn't even have the pro robot agenda in his heart.
Yeah. What about Danny? What about if your sex robot calls CVS? Is CVS allowed to tell them about your prescription for Viagra?
No, My robot is not allowed to know about my prescription. I will not give consent to that.
Hi, Merrick Rhodes, CVS. Is this Danny's robot?
Hi, I am calling about an update in my oil. He's like,
is Viagra.
Is this about Viagra? What are you talking about? Yeah. Is Danny taking Viagra?
Danny is a comes in here cash for Viagra.
Oh my gosh, he's been lying about his rock hard. I could see that. That's definitely going to be an article we share 50 years from now.
Well, I think the beauty of having a robot in the home is they could go pick up your prescriptions, right?
Yeah, there's no shame for the robot to pick up all the lubrication.
None at all.
And Viagra and toys. Yeah, then it just walks home and cleans them with its mouth.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, lots of stuff to chew on for the listeners for this week, of course.
And by the way, thank you to that reviewer for pointing us to a robot story. There's so many that we kind of get overwhelmed. And yeah, like Rob said, we do stay away from politics.
Yeah, we don't want to do the same sex robot stories every single week. So we wait for advances there. But that's an interesting thing to marinate on, the robot mayor. And we'll have to see how Tokyo fares if the robot mayor wins election.
What is your vote? Danny's already going the side of the robots. I feel like you have to.
What stands for, Tyson?
Does it matter?
I think he has a very strong conservative agenda.
It's a female, Tyson, not a man.
Robots have gender.
This one does. They're according to his chesticles.
Yeah, maybe on the outside, but
this
I think they're genderless.
This is a full bosomed robot.
It is. Does that change your vote, Tyson?
Yes. I will vote with the robot.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Now we know how to get
I would be
speak
worried
to Tyson.
Here that this could be some sort of a honeypot, Danny.
You think we're getting honeypotted?
Yeah. I don't know why.
We are, or the Japanese
I'm worried
voters
about
are?
The Japanese voters here that sexy, almost
you
nude.
You think Voldemort probably created this robot and he's going to actually be the puppet master.
Yeah, I would actually love any of our Japanese listeners to weigh in here on what's going on.
Okay, yeah. Go. There's no picture of the actual robot in a real life setting, by the way. So the puppet master is keeping the robot out of view in hopes that people will vote for a picture on a poster.
Yeah.
I don't see it debating a human or anything.
Right. Be great to see it on stage with a competitor in a debate. So we'll keep our eyes peeled for that. All right. Thanks so much, everybody who joined us live. Good audience here for the live show. Always appreciate it. If you're listening to the podcast, you can join us on Tuesdays, twitch.tv/RHAP. And of course, you can join us in our Facebook group where people share news stories with us all week long. Facebook.com/groups/groupAF or search for Group AF on Facebook. And if you can pass Tyson's questions, you can join the group.
That's true. Or not even pass them. Just write friend, friend, friend. Also, for our post-show conversation, I have some hilarious conversation topics.
Okay. Sounds good. All right. So thanks so much for Scott St. Pierre putting this all together. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
We did it, guys.